Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 14, beginning on page 336 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor, Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to make this freewill offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord is with you. It is great to see so many of you here worshiping with us this morning, and I know there are others who are worshiping with us online, and I welcome you here to National Presbyterian Church. Alan, thank you for reading today's text. It's an important one. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we do give you thanks. We sometimes forget the many ways in which you have blessed us. The fact that we could wake up this morning, the breath that we breathe, the food that you provide, the beds we slept in last night. Lord, we recognize that all these gifts we take for granted, the people who are in our lives, who love us unconditionally. But most of all, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has loved us and cleansed us from our sins. It's in his name that we pray, amen. So I know that this weekend is an important weekend in our nation's history. It's an important weekend in this congregation as we pause to honor the men and the women who have served in uniform, who gave their lives, years of their lives, in service to our nations, and in some cases, they actually gave their lives so that others might live in freedom. And this sacrifice is not something we take for granted. It reminds us that the greatest gifts in life are not the ones that we get to keep, but it's the ones that we give away. And it dawned on me as I was pondering today's lesson and thinking about this moment as a people and as a nation, that in some ways, Veterans Day and the prayer of David in 1 Chronicles 29, in many ways, they tell the same story. And the story goes something like this, that true generosity is costly love. Let me say that again. True generosity is costly love. As we think about generosity, I think it's important for us to also note that we're talking about generosity in the context of a faith community. But in our wider culture, the word generosity has a whole different set of meanings. And I'm thinking of some of the research that I did. One was from the Harvard Business Review, in an article that cites generosity as a wellness practice. And the long and short of the article is that people who practice generosity It makes them feel good about themselves. Now, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that. It just doesn't tell the whole story. I think about an article written by Ian Bogost in The Atlantic. His article was called "The Cult of the Charitable Self." And there he was focusing on a trend within our culture where people give as a performative act. They give so that they can post on some social media site. They give as a way to burnish or polish their own personal brand. Maybe there's more of a problem with that kind of giving. And then from the Pew Research Center, a study that found that many younger Americans prefer spontaneous, direct giving to institutions they can see and not to organized religion. And so folks are comfortable giving to a GoFundMe page or to some kind of channel of giving because they can see and they know for sure where the funds are going, but not to organized religion. And I can understand these impulses. People want their giving to matter. But the text before us this morning invites us to consider generosity and giving from a different perspective, a different direction. Because David's prayer isn't about giving so that he will feel good. It isn't about giving so that he will look good. Rather, as you heard in the reading, he's giving because God is good. Now, two different perspectives. I want you to remember the context of our passage this morning. David is nearing the end of his life. He has fought many battles. He's literally built a kingdom. He's united the kingdom in the north and the south into one kingdom. He's endured significant pain. He's experienced profound grace. And now he has one great unfulfilled longing. It started way back when the prophet Samuel was alive. Here he is now at the end of his life, and that longing is still unfulfilled. He wants to build a permanent house. He wants to build a temple for the Lord. And God said no. And I hope you're okay with that. That God can say and will say no. David, you are not the person to build. You're a man of war. You will not build my house. Instead, that assignment will go to your son Solomon. So what does David do? Instead of hosting a retirement party, nothing wrong with that, instead of writing a memoir, he pours out his passion, he pours out his energy and his personal wealth to make sure that the next generation has everything they need to build this house of God. And then he prays. And when you look at his prayer, friends, this is not a funeral dirge. This is not a woe me. I'm old and I'm about to die. No, actually, his prayer is the most generous prayer that you'll ever hear. It's a legacy prayer where he's praying about the generation that's coming behind him. And so this is not a prayer of a king who is boasting about what he's accomplished. It's a king who is confessing with gratitude to God that everything he's ever had belongs to God. What I love about David's prayer, I think that his prayer shatters our typical view of giving. Because David is not modeling some kind of reluctant obligation. It is joyful, joyful giving that we read here. His heart posture is one that I think we desperately need to learn. And you'll see my summation of the lesson that I think we can learn here. What David is telling us this morning is that when we give our best, when we know that none of what we have was ours to begin with. We give our best when we know that none of what we have comes from God. And I believe that this is the antidote to a scarcity mindset. This is the antidote to an entitlement mindset. This is the antidote to the anxiety that plagues many of us and chokes off our ability to be generous, because generosity is not about losing something. It's about returning what already belongs to God. And I want to say more about that in a minute. But let me pause for a moment and simply acknowledge the times in which we live. Simply acknowledge what's happening in our part of the world. Many of us are feeling the strain of uncertainty. The recent government shutdown has left some within this congregation and in many places around the region and our nation furloughed. The project you were working on is paused. You're feeling the stress about the future. And in moments like these, giving then can feel sort of dissonant. Talking about generosity in a time like this feels like something out of left field. It's frightening. It's heavy. But I want to put your mind at ease, because God's word is meeting us where we are. This is not about pressure. This is about a perspective. And David's prayer was not at a time when things were easy and life was good. He's at the end of his life. He has unfulfilled dreams. He's facing his own limitations. And what does David do? David does something that he wants all of us to do. He anchors himself in a reality that never changes. So this is the difference in perspective, the way the world considers generosity and the way people of faith consider generosity. What we would say is in verse 11, that all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Now, that's a perspective that some may agree with and some may dismiss. But when we feel financial anxiety, Scripture invites us, this is not the moment to clutch and to be anxious and to hold on tighter, but it is to remember that God holds us. God will provide for us. And the wonderful thing about God, unlike what we see on the screen, God will never shut down his goodness, his mercy, his providence, his love, and his grace. God is always open for business. So what I want to offer you today, before I take my seat, is the transformative perspective that David's prayer provides for us when we think about generosity. It's a whole different perspective. For example, perspective number one, David asks us to remember who the true owner is. Who is the real owner? David would say that it is God. Notice that David doesn't say a single word about what the people have given. He spends several verses talking about who God is. For example, yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, it is yours. Now, that's a shift in perspective. It's as if David is looking back over his entire life as a shepherd boy, as the famous giant slayer, as the fugitive on the run from the murderous thoughts of King Saul, as the now aging king. He's looking back over his life, and he's really saying that any blessing that I've had, any victory that has come my way, any resource that I have in my possession, I didn't earn it. I received it. The thing I notice about Scripture, as I read constantly in the Scriptures about generosity, it never begins by talking about my money or your money. Scripture always starts with a message about who owns it all, God's ownership. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says, what do you have? that you did not receive. The fact of the matter is, friends, we are tenants. We're not landlords. We're stewards, really. We're not owners. And so imagine a child, a little girl, a little boy, receives a slice of bread or a piece of pizza from his or her dad. And split second, the child turns around and says, "Hey, Dad, would you like a piece of my pizza? Would you like a piece of my bread?" And what's the child doing? The child is forgetting that it really is a gift from Dad. And in many ways, friends, we're just like that little kid. We sometimes forget. We breathe borrowed air, don't we? We woke up this morning by the mercy of God. You got here this morning by the mercy of God. The work that we do it with strength. That's on loan from God, is what David would say. And so this realization, really, it doesn't shrink our hearts. It doesn't make us feel resentful. If anything, it enlarges our hearts, and it fills us with joy when we know that we're not the ultimate owners. We don't have to clutch. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to protect. We can be open, and we can release what is really the Lord's. Again, a different perspective from what the world would advocate. But there's another there's a second transformational perspective that I want you to see. And it's thinking of giving or generosity as an act of worship. So we're here to worship this morning. And one of the ways we worship is by giving. It's not a financial transaction. Notice what David doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Look how generous we are." He doesn't say, "What a great and successful fundraising campaign that we're doing to build this massive temple." Instead, he turns the people's attention back to God, and he says, "We thank you, our God, and we praise your glorious name." And so generosity then, biblical generosity, it's not about paying dues. It's not about helping God out as if God needs our help. It's not about, "Well, God has some shortages. Let me play my part." No. Giving at its core is a deeply spiritual, worshipful act that forms us. And it trains our hearts. And our children who watch us, it trains our children. Mom and Dad is trusting God, and they're going to learn how to do just the same. Let me give you another simple example. I want you to hold out your hand, and I want you to clench your fist as tight as you can. Clench it real tightly. And the question I want to ask you as you're clenching your fist is, with the condition that your hand is in right now, what can you receive with your fist clenched like this, your hand clenched like this? What can you give? Now, some of you who love to fight will say, "Well, I could give a punch." But no, we're not going to go there. Imagine that you have an egg in your hand that you're clenching so tightly. What happens to the egg? It's going to break, and there's a big mess in your home. Now, I want you to open your hand. First of all, it feels good just opening my hand. Your palms are up. You can now easily, because your palms are up, you can easily receive something. Because your palms are open, you can also give. You can let it go. And friends, this is the posture of worship. It's not this. It's not this. The posture of worship. It's this open acknowledgement that we're here, we're worshiping God, we're giving Him our all. It's not tightness. It's trust. The last thing I'd want you to see that might shift our perspective is that, yes, we're understanding that there is a perspective that God owns it all, and I hope you embrace that. There is a perspective that giving is an act of worship, open hands, open hearts. But this is the last thing I'd want you to consider as a powerful, transformative perspective, that our giving is gratitude in motion. It's not payment for favors. And I just love David's words. You can hear the astonishment in verse 14, where he says, "But who am I? I'm just some little runt from Bethlehem. Somehow I became king. Who am I? What is my people that we should be able to make this free will offering? For all things come from you, and of your own hand we've given you." So David is marveling, not that he has to give, but that he gets to. That in David's world, giving is not a duty, it's a dignity, it's a privilege, it's worship in motion, it's gratitude with legs, really. I call this the Thanksgiving reflex. Think about that time when somebody showered you with an unexpected act of kindness. Maybe your car is broken down by the highway, and somebody stopped. They're on their way, and they stopped and said, "Can I help you? What do you need? Flat tire, look, I've got something to pump your car up. Dead battery, I can give you a charge." Maybe you're feeling sick and you get this message, email, text, that somebody says there is a package at your back door. You go and you look, and it's this hot, cooked, freshly cooked meal. The gift comes for no reason. And how do we respond? We respond not with obligation. Our tendency is to say, "Thank you. You didn't have to do that. Thank you." It's the reflex of a grateful heart. And generosity is that same reflex, overflowing. When we give to God, we're not paying God back for favors. We're really celebrating the grace that we already have in Jesus Christ. Listen, it is impossible to be grateful and to be relentlessly selfish at the same time. The two are like oil and water. They don't go together. So what does this look like in our daily lives? And I need to be honest with you, because I live in a world, you live in a world, where we're not here forever. We've got 401ks, we've got something in the bank, we've got mortgages, we've got rent, we've got student loans, we've got groceries to buy, and then there is the uncertainty of the economy. And with that, with those realities, it's easy to trust the numbers in our bank account more than the God of the universe. Here's what we all know to be true. We just don't want to admit it. Money does provide some level of security, but it cannot protect the needs of the soul. Money does provide some level of control, but it cannot keep life from going out of control. And so God, in his wisdom, through the prayer of David, calls us to give, not because God needs it, but because we need to be free. And what giving does, it loosens the grip of fear and it trains our hearts for eternity. I said to you, as David prayed, he was praying for the next generation. When I think of our church this morning, one of the things I love about National is that we are a multi-generational church. I wouldn't want to have it any other way. Think of the generations that are represented in this church, the generations that have passed. Think of the children in our Sunday school and the teenagers in our youth group and the college kids and the young professionals who call National Presbyterian Church their home. David was praying for the next generation. Our culture tells us that success is measured by possession and production. But there's another metric. When we gather, we don't measure just possession and production. We measure how well we're passing on the baton to that next generation. We want them to see our faithfulness. We want them to see our generosity. We want our sons and our daughters to love God more than stuff. We want our sons and daughters to serve God more than self. To have a different perspective from the world when it comes to possessions and money, because there are so many things that money cannot supply. So the question before us this morning then, as I take my seat, It's never, God, how much of my money do you want? It's the question that you see on the screen. Lord, what do you want to do through what you've already placed in my hands? The people who pray that prayer are the people who have the David type of perspective on life. It would be difficult for people out in our culture who don't subscribe to this to pray that prayer. But when you've given your life over to Jesus Christ, when you know that you know that you know that Almighty God is your Lord, your Savior, your Provider, your Sustainer, He will never leave you or forsake you. He has a plan, a purpose for your life. He knows you. He knows everything about you. When you understand that, you are at home with that prayer. Lord, what do you want to do through what you've already placed in my hands? And so, as we heard through Lori, and we heard it through Russ this week, a mailing went out, and you should have received it. And I want you to understand what's in that packet. We call it the generosity packet. It has a 14-day devotional, some of the most challenging, creative devotionals that you will ever do over the next 14 days is sitting in your mailer. There's a commitment card. So that next Sunday when you come back, you bring that card with you. That's our commitment Sunday. And we're like David. Like David, we humbly, we joyfully, we return a tithe. We return a portion of what we received from God in our open hands, where we acknowledge that God is the owner, and we say, I'm ready to support the next set of things, the next opportunities that God has put before National in 2026. I'm asking you to consider participating in this. I'm looking, believe it or not, I'm very naive, so forgive me. I am looking to see 100% participation in these three areas. The gift of time, the gift of the talent that God has given you. You know, did you know that we have an 80-20% problem where 20% of the people are scurrying around doing the ministry, 80% are enjoying the ministry of the 20%? I'm asking you to consider employing your gifts and your talents in service to God through the ministry of this church. And I'm also asking you to give a financial gift in support of the ministries of this church. Some of you are able to do all three and you're already doing it. God bless you. Some of you are just not ready. And if you can't give all three, then consider giving one of the three. You make the decision which one. But if all of us were to participate in some way, shape, or form in giving our time, in giving our talents, in giving our resources to the glory of God, what a difference it will make in the ministry of this church. And here's why. Here's our impulse. Again, quoting David, all things come from you, God, time, talents, resources, and of your own. Some translations say, of your own hand we have given you. May our lives, may our resources, may our hearts say the same. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, make us a people who give freely of our time and of our resources and of our lives for the good of others and for the glory of your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.